finds a grizzly bear and attempts to convert it. Later, they all get together. The priest begins. When I found the bear, I read to him from the catechism and sprinkled him with holy water. Next week is his first communion. I found the bear by the stream, says the Baptist. Preach God's holy word. The bear was so mesmerized that he let me baptize him. He's coming to service this Sunday. They both look down at the rabbi, who is lying on the gurney in a body cast. Looking back, he says, maybe I shouldn't have started with a circumcision. Aren't you glad you don't live under the law anymore? Amen! I would be a grizzly bear too. Okay, at the end of my message, you know, I'm just going to share what the Lord's been putting on my heart. At the end, we're just going to have some time. We're going to have some time to just be in his presence. Because that's what I'm talking about this morning, is valuing his presence. You're not obligated to stay. Okay? If you have commitments, if you have plans, God understands. Because I know he wants his presence to go with you. But corporately, we're going to just spend some time together. And you're welcome to stay with me. Because we're going to maybe just spend some time in the Lord the way I do it. And I'm not saying it's more right or more better. It's just, this is how I do it. And I'm just going to invite you with me. And if you want to get your kids and say, you know what, I want them to join in, I'm for that too. Just please, you go get them, bring them in. Don't worry, you're not going to disturb the presence of God. He's not worried about that. So I'm just going to lead you. I'm going to walk with you and show you what I've been... what God's been doing on my heart the last little while. I'm going to paint some pictures with imagery. You might want your Kleenex, because I know that the Lord is going to move. I know he's going to stir within you. I know he's going to touch you in a way that maybe some of you have never had, never experienced. Some of you might be a little afraid of it. Some of you don't even have a relationship with the Lord, and some of you are going to come to that today. You know, I'm just expecting that. Because that's how good my God is. And I know that there's two things you can have. You can either walk with his presence, or you can walk without it. So I'm going to just show you a contrast. The Lord, he just spoke to me and he said, son, I want you to work backwards. So I'm not going to preach that way. I'm just going to work backwards. I started in Revelation. But before I get there, I want to show you two words that in the Hebrew actually mean the same thing. In English, we say it differently. So we're going to talk about presence, valuing his presence. The word presence, you can write that down if you want. And the other word is face. Everybody touch your face. In the Hebrew, that's the same word as presence. Face and presence are the same. It's really difficult to have the fullness of someone's presence without seeing their face. Really different. Try it. Really difficult. Try being married to somebody and never seeing their face. Try picturing someone and saying, oh, I'm in their presence, without seeing their face. It's very, very difficult. So I want you to go in Revelation, chapter 20, 11 to 15. We'll start at the end. And I broke it down into, I got three. It's a very short sermon, because honestly, I feel like God just wants to spend time and have fun. He's a God that wants to have fun this morning with you. He just wants to touch your life this morning. So Revelation chapter 20. If you can just touch your button and get there. Flip your page. I'm okay. We're going to read 11 to 15 or so. And I saw a great white throne and one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, the death and grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Contrast one, presence without God for your destiny. Okay, this is your destiny if you don't have the Lord. Okay? What we just read is your destiny. It's what's going to happen. Because some people say, oh, I'm a good person. I've helped out people. I give to the sick, or I give to the poor. I visit people in hospital. And this is the sad thing, is that Jesus even says, no, I didn't know you. And that word know actually has to do with an intimate presence. He's like, I didn't know you. I didn't know you intimately. I didn't know who you were. And you don't know me. And I want to also share the other contrast. Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22, we'll read 1 through 5. Then the angel showed me a river with water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for the medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. There will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will forever reign. There's the contrast. When you're in the presence of God, this is what you get. BJ, come here, buddy. This is what I see. Honestly, when he said, the first contrast, your name has to be written in the book of life. The book of life, it was a capital B and a capital L. Jesus said, I'm the Word. I am the life. I'm that book of life. And if your name's not in me, and I'm not in you, then you have no place in me. Yeah, that's his kingdom. And this is the imagery when I see when you have a relation. No, I want you down there. Yeah, I want you right there. All right. No, just stay right there. Honestly, when God says, he's like, when I write my name on their forehead, they will see my face. This is the image I get. Okay? It's kind of funny. I can smell BJ. BJ can smell me. But do you know how close this is, BJ? Are you a little awkward?
I don't care. I'm good.
You don't care? You're good? Mm-hmm. But do you want to know something? No, stay right here, buddy. You know, because you're so warm. But this is a really powerful imagery. Okay? Because there's a thing about when God looks in your eyes and he's this close, you can see and feel his breath. Okay? You don't get that without being in the presence so close with. And you know, when God puts his head and it's like this, he's like, son, he's like, I'm so pleased with you. I'm so proud of you. I love that you're my son. I love that I'm in your life and you're in mine. And I'm so glad at the things you're doing with your wife and your kids. And he just speaks a word. And he has a close word. Yeah. He is so close. You can't get a closer presence than that, so you think. We're not going to show any other closer presence. That's reserved for a husband and wife. Destiny without purpose, or destiny with purpose. Which one are you in? Or destiny without presence and destiny with presence. Uh-oh. Next up is your purpose. If you have a destiny, you're not going to get there except... Thanks, dude. You don't... Destiny is not a destination. Every single person has been given a destiny. It is not possible to exist and have nowhere to go the next moment. Destiny is what you choose to live and not a destination. For tomorrow hinges on today. Okay? Next up, it's like, well, how do I get this destiny? How do I get there? If it's a journey, how are you going to get there? Well, you got a purpose. You get a purpose with the presence of God, and you'll have a purpose without the presence of God. And I know this for a fact. Many people just live a lifestyle without his presence. And they're like, what do I do with my life? Where am I going? What's the next step? Even when you don't know what the next step is, there is one step to take. And it's always to him. It's always into his presence. He wants you, and he wants you to want him. Okay, so your one purpose. Every single person has been given a purpose. The question one should ask themselves is not so much what is my purpose, but who am I living it in the presence of? Matthew 12:31. Every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. The presence of God. Some of us don't walk with it in our daily lives. You know, I was saved a long time ago. I still remember sitting in a chair, my mom, a worship pastor, and the pastor at the time, and they just led me through the sinner's prayer and asked me, you know, do you want the Lord in your life? And I was like, yeah, I do. I need the Lord. I was 7. As time goes on, you become a teenager, you live your own lifestyle, you do your own things. When I came back at about the age of 20, 21, it's like, Lord, I need you again. I've walked away. You have the Spirit in you when you give your life to the Lord. But I have since learned that I have the Spirit in me, and there's also the Spirit upon me. And I haven't really lived a life of the Spirit upon me. I've lived most of my life with the Spirit in me. But the Lord tore open the curtain of the tabernacle. Well, the presence of God was always in there. Why did he tear it open? Because he wanted everybody to have his presence upon them. So he showed me a picture that I was like, Lord, what is it? What's the difference between being in me and being upon me? And it's like a little kid. He said, well, I am a God of infinite resource. Your dad who has resources. When my girls can't reach something, I pick them up and I get them, they can grab it. That's a pawn. What's an image of me being in them? He said, they have your DNA. They watch you and they walk with your character. You're always in them. They think of you when they're making decisions. He's like, you being upon them, lifting them up, takes them to greater heights and allows them to do more. Swinging them around is coming upon them and giving them an experience that they can't otherwise do themselves. That's coming upon. And he said, I want to come upon you. I want my Spirit to come upon you. But a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is when you're rejecting the work of the Spirit in your life and you're walking away from God. You reject because he wants to work in you. And you don't want to squelch the Spirit because he also wants to work upon you. As an unbeliever, you don't have the Spirit in you. If you don't believe in God, you don't have the Spirit in you. If you say, I believe in God, and you have the Spirit in you, you should have things flowing. Like God works, and he wants to be upon us this morning, church. He wants to come on us in an amazing way that's going to bring you to newer heights, allow you to reach where you can't, or you've never been. It's like, just like that kid that's like, Dad, I want that toy right there. So I like to carry my kids like a suitcase sometimes, grab them by the back of the shirt, carry them and pick them up, you know. That, I don't know, that's something my dad does. Okay. Sometimes we like to just pick them up and throw them in the air, put your hands down at your side, and then catch them at the last minute. And they scream, your wife gets mad at you, and your mom's like, Christopher Sean. No, you don't do that. No one's ever done that. No one's ever held their kid with one hand as they're like 6 months old. Okay, me neither. I haven't done that either. Don't ask Tracy. Without the Spirit in your daily life of your purpose, you've got nothing. You're just going to wander around wondering what life is about, thinking it's about money, thinking it's about pleasure, thinking it's about whatever, people liking you, having a title, a position. That's all you're going to think. And you're going to say, what do I need to attain? That's where you're going to be at, and that's where you're going to be stuck at. We already know what the destiny is. I'm showing you where your purpose is at. Okay? John 1:32. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. This is after Jesus' baptism, as he comes up out of the water. I saw the Spirit of God descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. How many of you would love the presence of God upon your life and remain? To remain. It was Bill Johnson. I watched a sermon several times. It's actually titled Valuing His Presence. I watched it 3 times. And he said, you know, he's like, it's like a dove. The presence of God is like a dove. If you've ever seen a dove, there was one at the pet store, so I tried to pick it up. It's a very skittish bird. It's very frightening. It doesn't like things like that, and it just runs away and runs around. And even though there's a lot of people, it's really tough to pick it up. The other birds, the budgies, I was able to grab some, you know, do whatever, the parakeets or the parrots, stuff like that. They'll come to you, but a dove isn't. It's a very gentle bird. It's an international symbol of peace, is a dove, along with the olive branch. But that dove, it will fly at the slightest sign of distress, you know, or something that's going to startle it. And one of the things, if I've the last month, I've just been picturing a dove on my shoulder, just sitting, and trying to live a life and say, Lord, I just want to not scare the bird. And I felt like God was saying, don't worry about scaring the bird. Just be mindful of me. And it's not the bird. It's my presence. It's my Holy Spirit. Be mindful of my Spirit. Because I want to talk to people. I want to speak to them. I want to come upon you in a way that's going to, like that curtain being ripped open, that my presence, everybody else is going to see. He's in me for me. He's upon me for you. The presence of God is in me for my life. The presence of God is upon me for everybody else's. You guys all go to work. You go to school. You have a life. You have a purpose. The Lord wants to be upon you so that you can be effective where you're at, and they can see the presence of God, because you're representing his kingdom. When Jesus said, behold, the kingdom has drawn nigh unto you, he was saying, I am the kingdom. I am in that kingdom, and I'm coming close to you in presence, in human form, the very presence of God in human form, representing his kingdom. That's the fullness. And they got to see his face. I actually am looking forward to the day where I get to see Jesus face to face. And some of you are like, yeah, when you die. Paul had a conversion. He saw the face of Jesus. There's things that I'm looking forward to before I die. You want to talk with me about it? I'm okay with that. But I want a fullness of God's presence in my life. He doesn't lack anything. There's no resource he lacks. There's no emotion that he has struggles with. He has no anxiety. There is no anxiousness in God. There's no fear within him. In his presence, he has nothing of that. God, give that to me. There's no doubt within him. There's no doubt in his mind. God, I want that too. Gail, your word, me too. I want that too. I get that. God, give me more. And the last, so you got with or without his presence, a destiny. With or with his presence, a purpose. And I don't have a contrast for the beginning, because in the beginning, all there was his presence. There was nothing contrasting it. Genesis 1:2, the very first word where the word presence shows up, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the very beginning was the presence of God upon the front or face of existence. And from his presence began and is the formation of all things. Genesis 2, chapter 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. You want to see the imagery in this? God formed with his hands, took of the dirt, made the vessel of a human being, laid down, got face to face, put his mouth on his. Well, those that are in healthcare, CPR, he breathed on him. Okay? Touched his face. And all the imagery is almost like his mouth covered his nostrils and his mouth. And he breathed, and man became a living being. And there was humanity. The very beginning, he said, I want my face on you, and I want your face on me. The very beginning was forehead to forehead, breathing right in your face. And this morning, God's breathing right in your face. I guess you're at a choice where you get to breathe in and receive it. Or you can cover your mouth and say, I don't like the smell of his breath. You get to pick. Because in the Garden of Eden, when he put man and woman in the Garden of Eden, they were both naked and they were unashamed. The man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were both in the presence of one another. There was no shame, no guilt, no displeasure, no insecurity, no inferiority, no anxiety, nothing but pure, intimate presence. That was our beginning. That's where we start from. I don't have to work for that. I'm not working for approval. I'm not working for God's love in my life. I'm not working for my wife's love in my life. I don't have to seek it. I don't seek the approval. I'm in the presence of my wife. She gets me. I get her. I'm written on her. She's written on me. Our spirits are one. We get to be together. I get to enjoy the fullness of her presence. No striving. And that God says, I want that same thing for you in my life and in your life. I want, you're written on me. You're written on my heart, and my word is on your heart. I've anointed your forehead. I've anointed your right ear, your right thumb, and your right toe. I've anointed you, and I'm with you. I'm not leaving. I get to have you. And I get to say, Lord, I get to have you too. I live out of his presence. not striving for it, not working for it, not serving in the cafe for his presence, not teaching children because I want his presence. I'm not here preaching because I want his presence. I'm here preaching because I live in his presence. I teach the kids because I live from his presence. Totally different perspective. My children live from their presence of their dad because I get them. They're mine. And they say, Dad, you're mine. And I'm a dad, you know what? I told Pastor Larry we had a coffee to go over a sermon, and I said, you know what? Most of us come here on a Sunday morning and want an experience with God, and we go home, and that's what we get, is just what we're here. This is the message we get. And I said to him, I said, you know, our God's not into conjugal visits. He's not a God that wants to come visit you while you're in prison and have you to have an experience. He wants to open the prison door and have you to live in his presence with him. But most of us come on a Sunday morning, and this is what we get. And then you're supposed to live your life 7 days a week. And God says, no, I want to live with you 7 days a week. And I want you, because I took you out of your prison, and I want to show you how to get other people out of prison. And I want you to be able to open their doors so they can have my presence. So my this morning, I just want you to not try and sew up the curtain of that tabernacle. Don't try and put it, don't turn around from God's presence and try and close the curtain. Because there's an invitation there. And this morning, we're just going to have the invitation. We're just going to spend some time. However you want to do it. Okay? We're also going to have some people up here. I know there's a couple people that have been, couple couples that have been prepared. If you want prayer and say, you know what? I don't know how to get in the presence of God. Well, come talk with them. They'll lead you. Because I'm going to lead you into how I do worship. I'm going to lead you into God's presence, how I do it. And I would love for you to join me. We're just going to have a time. If you want, I know as the music starts, those that have been called to come or been asked to come, just come. Worship. Come sit. Come worship. You're welcome to stay in your seats and worship. You're welcome to stand up and worship. I might be up here. If you want to come and kneel and worship, you betcha. If you want to go, go ahead. So I'm just going to ask you to stand because there's something. Just go ahead and stand. And then go ahead and, Matt, give her. Just nice and quiet for a moment. But I want you to be blessed because there was something that the Jewish people did. Is they, benediction, I don't know what to call it, but there was a blessing. If you want to receive it this morning, may God's face be upon you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. It's not verbatim, but that was something powerful. Just receive the presence of God. May he shine upon you. May his countenance be turned towards you. He wants to bless you. He wants to pour out his spirit upon you. He loves you. And I want you to know that he's not angry at you for your sin, not angry at you for your wrongdoing, for your judgment, for your anger, for your gossip. He's not worried about that. He washed it. He says, I don't want to look at that. That's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at your heart. I'm looking at your heart, and I want you to see my face. I want my face to shine upon you. I want my presence to be upon you. I want you to have peace.